Let's continue our talks from John by reading John chapter 10, 1 through 10. Now in these verses, the Lord reveals that he is both the shepherd of the sheep and the door of the sheep. John chapter 10, verses 1 through 10. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. Jesus used this illustration, but they did not understand the things which he spoke to them. Then Jesus said to them again, "Most assuredly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved, and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly." All right, once again, some background notes, first of all. At the end of John chapter 9, the Lord rebuked the Pharisees for their spiritual blindness. Now here in chapter 10, the Lord is speaking about sheep and shepherds. Now what's the connection? Remember that in the original, there were no chapter and verse divisions. So when John wrote his gospel, he went right from 9:41 right into chapter 10. No chapter and verse divisions in the original. It was continuous. So what's the connection between the rebuke of the Pharisees and now the talk about the sheep and the shepherds? The connection is that the Pharisees fell into the category of the false shepherds, the thieves and the robbers that the Lord refers to here in verses 1 and 8 and 10. They led the people astray, but the Lord was the true shepherd. Now in verse 6, we learn that the Lord was definitely using figurative language here. Verse 6, once again. Jesus used this illustration, but they did not understand the things which he spoke to them. Figurative language the Lord is using. Now, some of your translations say parable, but I've already told you there's no parables in the Gospel of John. So what's the deal here? Well, the word that's used here is not the normal word that's used for parable. It would be better translated illustration or figurative discourse. Now, it certainly uses parabolic language, but it's not like the parables of the Synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, where your parables are introduced usually by, "and he told them this parable, a sower went forth to sow," and so forth. So probably the best way to translate this would be a figurative discourse on the sheep and the shepherd. Now, to appreciate the details of this figurative discourse, we need to understand how a shepherd led his sheep in the first century. A sheepfold was a walled enclosure made of stone, usually without a roof. Now, several flocks of sheep were kept in these sheepfolds. And when a legitimate shepherd came to get his flock, the doorkeeper or watchman of the fold would let the shepherd pass into the fold. The shepherd would then call his sheep, and the sheep would know the voice of the shepherd. The true shepherd, the legitimate shepherd, would then lead his flock out to pasture. Now, while the shepherd and his sheep were away from the sheepfold, many times the shepherd would stay with his flock overnight. He'd be out there in the pasture all night with his flock. In those cases, the shepherd would find some kind of sheltered area in the pasture area, and he himself would act as the door. He would sleep right there so no wild animal or thief could get at the sheep without first encountering the shepherd. Now, you need that background to understand what's going on in this figurative discourse. So now with that background, let's move to our doctrinal points or teaching points from this first section of John chapter 10. Doctrinal point number one, Christ is the shepherd of the sheep. Christ is the shepherd of the sheep. In the figurative discourse, it's easy to see that Christ is the true shepherd. But now what about the sheepfold and the door and the doorkeeper? I believe these also have a meaning in this figurative discourse. The sheepfold represents the nation of Israel under the law. The law was good. God gave it to protect his people. The door represents the right way for the Messiah, the true shepherd, to come. Right in line with the prophecies of the Old Testament scriptures. And not the way some of the false messiahs had come. And certainly not the unscriptural way the Pharisees wanted the Messiah to come. Now, the doorkeeper may represent John the Baptist, who by the Holy Spirit prepared the way for the Messiah and opened the door when he announced that the true king, the true shepherd, had arrived. Now, with the arrival of the true shepherd, the true sheep responded to his voice. These were the disciples and the other true believers in the nation of Israel, like the blind man of John chapter 9. But not all in Israel were his sheep. Certainly not the self-righteous scribes and Pharisees. The purpose of Christ, the true shepherd, was to lead his sheep out of the sheepfold, out from Judaism, out from under the Mosaic law. Not that the law was bad, and in no way were the moral principles of the law thrown out. But Christ is the end of the law. Romans 10:4, Christ is the end of the law. The law is not the way of salvation. So the Lord Jesus came as the true shepherd of the sheep. He came as the scriptures predicted. In the prophecy of Ezekiel 34, after the false shepherds of Israel are denounced, the true shepherd is predicted. I'm reading Ezekiel 34, beginning at verse 1. And the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, Thus says the Lord God to the shepherds, Woe to the shepherds of Israel who feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks? There in the prophecy, the false shepherds are denounced. But now coming on down to verse 22 of Ezekiel 34, Therefore I will save my flock, and they shall no longer be a prey. And I will judge between sheep and sheep. I will establish one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them. That one shepherd is the predicted Messiah. That one shepherd is Christ. Christ is the shepherd of the sheep. Doctrinal point number two. Christ is the door of the sheep. Christ is not only the shepherd of the sheep, Christ is the door of the sheep. The Lord continued this figurative discourse, and in verse 7 we read, Then Jesus said to them, Most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. In other words, he is not only the true shepherd who came to lead his sheep out of the sheepfold, but now he himself is the door in the pasture area. Not the door to the sheepfold. The sheepfold is left behind. But the door to salvation and the door to pasture. Verse 9 once again. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. Christ is the door of the sheep. He is the door to pasture, food for the soul. He's the door to spiritual life. Verse 10. He's the door to the abundant life. Verse 10 again. Let's read that. I have come that they might have life and that they may have it more abundantly. The Christian life is not a drag. It's the abundant life. Christ is the door of the sheep. And he's the only door. Good works are not the door. Baptism is not the door. Membership in a church is not the door. Christ is the door of the sheep. He's the only door. Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 and 14. This is what the Lord Jesus said. Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it, because narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. Christ is the only door. Christ is the door of the sheep. So let's move then to practical application. Practical application number one, have you heard the true shepherd's voice? Have you heard the true shepherd's voice? Verse 3 says that the sheep hear his voice. Have you heard the shepherd's voice? Some people don't want to hear his voice. Other people listen to the wrong voice. The Jim Joneses and the David Koreshes are false shepherds. In line with verse 10, they come to steal and kill and destroy. And yet some people follow the voices of these false shepherds. There are many false shepherds and many misleading voices out there. The New Age voices that are saying we're all part of God and we can save ourselves. These are voices of false shepherds. Have you heard the true shepherd's voice? Christ is the true shepherd, and his voice is always in line with Scripture. I added that it's always in line with Scripture because even Christians somehow get this idea, the Lord told me this, the Lord told me that, and it will not be in line with Scripture. There's no way that's the voice of the true shepherd. The true shepherd's voice will always be in line with Scripture. Are you listening to the true shepherd's voice? Have you heard the true shepherd's voice? Practical application number two. Have you found the true shepherd's pasture? Have you found the true shepherd's pasture? Verse 9, once again. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. Notice, Christ is the door of salvation. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. But he's also the door of pasture. That is food for the soul. He will go in and out and find pasture. As we go in and out, you might say, in to worship, out to witness, we find pasture. That is food for our souls. The primary idea here is that it's the Christ-centered life. That is the key for food for your soul. Lots of prayer and a steady diet of Scripture will keep you Christ-centered, Christ-focused, because Scripture is Christ-centered. You will not find food for your soul apart from Scripture. You certainly won't find pasture in entertainment or travel or sports or business. Not that these things are wrong. They're very good and proper and right in their place. But food for the soul is only found in Christ. He himself is the pasture. Have you found the true shepherd's pasture?